This is not how we think of Jesus, right? Usually when we think about Jesus, it's this sweet guy who spends his days teaching and healing people, putting his hands on the heads of little children, maybe. We usually think this about Jesus, and we can sort of slip into this image of him as an always peaceful, monotone, and easily ignorable kind of guy at the end of the day. But here, near the very beginning of John's gospel, we've got such a drastically different description. Jesus dumping coins all over the place, flipping tables, and making a whip to drive cattle and sheep out of the temple. The image of Jesus as peaceful and pastoral isn't wrong. It's just not the complete picture of who Jesus is. Jesus is more complex than that. And for one thing, he's human, right? And we know that being human is beautiful and messy. It's a complicated thing. Certainly, we can feel love and joy, moments of peaceful serenity. But the spectrum of human emotion, it's so much broader than that, right? There's also disgust and anger and sadness. And since Jesus is human, as well as being divine, all the complexity of humanity, it's in play for him. Not just the warm feelings, but the dramatic ones, too. And Jesus seems to be firmly in the dramatic when he encounters the scene in the temple. The temple, of course, was the place where you went to sacrifice to God, to take something valuable to you. It was usually an animal, but in some cases grain too, and sacrifice it, to burn it, to literally waste it and its value for the sake of giving honor and glory to God. It was a way of acknowledging that God and God's blessings are far more important and valuable than whatever it was we just sacrificed. And so for the temple system to run, for the people of God to be able to travel to the temple from all over the place to make their offerings of sacrifice, to ask for forgiveness or blessing or whatever, well, people needed access to the right coins and to unblemished animals. So the merchants and the money changers were there to provide that service, without which the worship life of the temple, which was based around this sacrifice, just couldn't have really happened, certainly not happened smoothly. And Jesus would have known all of this before he got to the temple. So his dramatic action, I don't think, is because he was surprised by what he found there. Mary Hinkle Shore, a pastor in this synod, says something else is going on here, and I think she's right. She calls Jesus' dramatic reaction here, his flipping of tables and driving of cattle, she calls it performance art. In other words, Jesus putting on a show to get everybody's attention. And good performance art doesn't just grab your attention, it draws it to something, right? It points to something to make a point. In this case, the point is that the whole elaborate system of sacrifice, designed as a way to encounter and communicate with God, Jesus is pointing to the fact that it's no longer necessary. Destroy this temple, Jesus says, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And that thoroughly confuses just about everybody, because they think he's talking about the temple they were standing in, the temple that was built by King Herod. And to rebuild that temple in 3 days would be crazy talk, right? Because the stone blocks that are used in the base of the temple average something like 28 tons each, and some of them weighed more like 600 tons. So you'd be lucky to put one of those in place in 3 days, much less raise up a whole temple's worth of them. But they're missing the point of this whole clearing of the temple stunt. Nobody understands when Jesus says it, but what he's talking about is his own death and resurrection. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the resurrection of Jesus, that in itself is good news for us, right? It means that death, the thing that was always undefeatable, can and actually has been defeated by God. And what's more, since it was defeated by Jesus and we are tied to Jesus in the waters of baptism, it means that we will share in the resurrection and the life of Jesus. But there's more than that going on. There's more good news than that that Jesus calls attention to. Because in the world of first century Judaism, if you wanted to encounter God, if you wanted to ask forgiveness or offer praise, the way that you did that was to make a trip to the temple. Maybe not so bad if you live in Jerusalem, but what if you were a Jew living abroad, in another country, perhaps? To encounter God at that point, to seek God's grace, well, that would involve a really difficult journey. You might only hope to make it once in a lifetime. For that matter, what if you lived right in Jerusalem or nearby, but you didn't have the means, the money, or the animals to make elaborate sacrifices in the temple? How are you supposed to receive the grace of God at that point? What Jesus proclaims in John's gospel to the confused folks in the temple, yeah, who were probably still trying to pick up the mess, what he proclaims to them, but even more so what is proclaimed to us, is that there's a new temple in town, a new way to receive God's grace. Jesus says to the people that they don't need Herod's temple. We don't need Herod's temple because we have Jesus. Jesus, very God, come down among us, incarnate God with us, accessible to us. Jesus, the one who makes God known to us in a new way. Jesus is all that we need to receive God's grace. Which means, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that in our understanding, God is no longer only accessible in certain places, right? God is not cooped up in the temple or even in our sanctuaries. God is immediately accessible anywhere that Jesus is. And while Jesus has ascended and isn't just walking around teaching and healing in human form anymore, the same way that he once was, Jesus is still present. Anybody ever heard Paul talk about the body of Christ? Who is the body of Christ? What is the body of Christ? Paul says we are, right? Empowered by the Spirit, the church is the body of Christ in the world. Which means that the grace and love of God through Jesus Christ are there anywhere and everywhere where believers gather in worship and service of God. And if we have trouble with this abstract sense that God is with us, there is one place where we receive God's grace in a physical way, one that we can touch and smell and taste. We gather at the table and receive the very presence of Jesus in bread and wine, Christ's body given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, present here in a way that we can access. Since I left home and went off to college some years ago, I think I've moved a dozen times or more. So I know really well that when you start the process of making this change, when you start packing, The mess in the floor always has to get worse before it gets better. Jesus enters the temple and makes a giant mess of things. But it's not for the sake of making a mess, understand. It's for the sake of making it better, for the sake of drawing our attention away from wherever it was and to Him. Because anything that's not Jesus, anywhere else we go looking for salvation, at best it's a distraction, and at worst it's idolatry. To encounter God's grace, there's just one source, Jesus, in whom we have grace upon grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.